How's it going, guys? Past level question on endocrine step 1, internal medicine 2, CK. 8-year-old girl who has diabetic ketoacidosis. So we're handing you that obvious diagnosis here, and then we're asking you the IRIS. So let's just hop through. So we'll start with anion gap. So is it going to be up or no change? Clearly, as you guys know, it's going to be an increased anion gap because DKA is the D in mud piles, the mnemonic for high anion gap, metabolic acidosis. So we're going to have methanol uremia. Uremia refers to renal failure. It's not the same as hyperuricemia. Don't confuse it. D, obviously DKA, as I said. P is fenformin, some obscure drug you don't have to worry about. I, isoniazid / iron tablets. L, lactic acidosis. E, ethylene glycol, which is antifreeze. S, salicylates, which is aspirin. So you got to know that those are the high anion gap metabolic acidoses. You're going to have a low serum bicarbonate. Anion gap is calculated by adding chloride and bicarb together, taking that number and subtracting it from sodium, and it should be 13 or greater. Okay, 8 to 12 is normal. So we're going to have an up arrow for anion gap. So we eliminate all the bottom answers. So now let's move on to serum potassium. The answer is going to be increased serum potassium here, and it's going to be increased for two reasons in DKA. The first is insulin is absent. Insulin normally helps drive potassium into cells. So insulin is going to drive GLUT4 expression on the surface of adipocyte skeletal muscle, allows glucose to move into cells. That's going to create ATP, which is going to increase your sodium potassium ATPase pumps, which is going to drive 2 potassium in for 3 sodium out. So if you don't have that, potassium is obviously going to build up in the serum. Second reason serum potassium is high is something called cellular shift, which is an answer on one of the NBME exams, which just means that as ketone bodies increase, which are acidic, protons build up in the blood, the cells will attempt to buffer that acidity by exchanging protons with potassium. So you have protons move into the cell, potassium move out via a K+, H+ antiporter, cellular shift. So we have increased serum potassium, hyperkalemia. And then we're gonna have low total body potassium, okay? So what's gonna happen is that increased potassium in the blood is gonna make its way to the kidney. Well, the kidney's obviously gonna sense that high potassium and it's going to do what it needs to do, which is kaliurese. Okay, excrete potassium, kaliuresis in the urine. And so that's going to occur where we're losing potassium in the urine, but we still have the cellular shift and reduced insulin that's going to keep serum potassium high. So this combination is called hyperkalemia despite low total body potassium. And I clarify that because you say, well, if total body potassium is low, serum potassium is high, is that hypo or hyperkalemia? It's hyperkalemia, okay? So far we have an increased anion gap, we have increased serum potassium, and we have decreased total body potassium. And then as far as the CO2 is concerned, it's gonna be decreased CO2 because if we have a metabolic acidosis where bicarb's low, CO2 is acidic, we're gonna blow it off to compensate. Now, sometimes the question can be easier. They can tell you that the respiratory rate is high. The patient has deep breathing, cusmal breathing in DKA, which is characteristic because there's a strong, robust attempt to blow off that acidity, okay? So increase anion gap, increase serum potassium, decrease total body potassium, down arrow CO2 for DKA. You know the deal. I'm going to make more content. I feel like my stuff's scrum channel. Appreciate your time. That's it.